This guy, probably most of you will not know who he is. He is David Eagleman, and he is reckoned to be one of the cleverest men in the world. He's just invented a vest. Some of you may be sitting here wearing a vest and thinking, well, that's nothing new. But this is a vest unlike any vest, or unlike a vest as we know it. It looks something like this, just in the right-hand corner. And this, I'll just explain to you briefly how that operates. This is a vest for deaf people, which he has found that within about 3 months of using, that they will be able to hear. It's got motors in the back, and that picks up vibrations from the words that people speak being transferred into an app and onto these motors through to the front of the chest, where it sends a signal to the brain, and the brain processes that vibration into sound. Absolutely amazing. And he thinks that if we could harness the power and intelligence of all the computers in the world, we may then be able to simulate a simple version of the human brain in action. That's how amazing our brain is. The brain is what makes everything happen in our bodies. So often, without seemingly conscious thought, the brain makes 100 billion new connections every day as a memory is being formed. And I make this the starting point. We're talking about the body, but it's so important we start with the head. It's only effective, the body is only effective under the leading and directing of the head. And the Bible makes it very clear to us that the head of the body is Christ. And he says, I will build my church. And yet, with all that, he chooses to evidence him to the world. So Christ is the head of the body. He gives us his Holy Spirit as the life within us that makes the body live and to move. So as we think about building up the body, we need to start with a basic question. How do we become part of the body? How do we become members of the body? It's not a social club. It's not about pitching up at a church service on a Sunday. It comes through believing faith in the Lord Jesus, which is about repenting of our sin and seeking his forgiveness through what Jesus has done for us on the cross. That's the only starting point, the only way to be part of the body. I remember a woman who came to church for a while, and it was like a social club to her, and she thought she was a member. But she had never made that step of faith in the Lord Jesus. And so, through faith, we become members of the body, and we want and encourage believers to be committed to church. Many of you are visitors today, and I'm sure many of you go to other churches. So please apply what you hear this morning in your own walk and in your own church where you are. Maybe you've been coming to this church for a significant length of time. Maybe you are ready to take that step of committing to this body and membership to live and give and serve God in this place. If you're at that point, that's great. And we've just started more new pre-memberships with people. If you want to know more about that, please speak to myself or Clive, and we'll be glad to meet with you. I don't think that's me. I'm not moving at all. Okay. Something that struck me this week is probably quite obvious to those of you who are believers, but I'd never really thought about it before, that as human beings, we are made in the image of God, but so too is the church. The church is to be the image of God. It's what we are called to be. We are the living and visible representation of Christ to the world, the primary representation. Bill Hybels, leader of a huge church in the States, famously says the church is the hope of the world, not because of who we are, but because of who he is, and that we would reflect him. And this morning, as we think about growing in the body, we're going to be looking at various scriptures in the Word of God. And the first one we'll look at is in Ephesians chapter 4. As we think there, as it's represented of the church, which we are as a body, and Christ as the head. Okay, Colin's to the rescue here. Thank you. So Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. As a prisoner of the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Why is the body a good picture of the church? Why is it a good picture of the church? Well, as I thought about the body, you automatically think of something that is moving and living and active, that has many parts, all the parts working together to make things move. We're designed as bodies to grow, to develop, to mature. And the body needs to be looked after and not neglected. It needs to be fed good things. It needs to be active. We are not created to be couch potatoes. How much work did that take to make a couch out of potatoes? We are being warned today that we are sitting around far too much and not exercising. But the reality is that laziness for us and our culture is an easy default with the endless entertainments that our culture provides us with. And also, as the body of the church, we can so easily become lazy. And Paul warns us, do not give up doing good. If we're going to be a growing church, we need to be healthy and active. The evidence to a watching world is the works that we do. And that's not my thoughts. We read in James chapter 2 and 17, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. I'd mentioned my mum in my last sermon, shortly before unexpectedly she passed into glory. And I was struck during the eulogy which Howard Peebles had presented at my mum's funeral that her life from beginning to end was crammed full of service for others, which was completely motivated by her love for God. Because good works are useless on their own, but they are to be an outworking and an evidence of his love through us. And in verse 1 of what we just read, we are commanded to lead a life worthy of our calling. Jesus was known for going round doing good, the ultimate do-gooder in the right sense. And as I thought about this and acknowledge and recognize the busyness of our lives, the question has to come to each one of us. When did you last do something kind for someone else, someone in need? It's something we should all be looking to do at all times. He gives us the opportunities. We hear it so often in church. He has those good works prepared in advance for us to do. They are tailored for you, for your life coming up in this week, the directions, the paths that you go. God has set up these opportunities just for you. So we don't need to look too far for them. If we will be led by the Spirit, as we were reminded last week, we will soon see and be able to take these opportunities. So we are reminded, never give up doing good. Exercise love. In verse 2, we read what this means in practice. It's about humility. It's about gentleness and patience with each other's faults. Ultimately, putting the other person and their needs before our own. And that all comes under the banner that we are called to love one another. These are all so vital to the unity of the body. And when it comes to spiritual matters, it may be putting your own thinking, your own thoughts, your own hopes even aside for what is best for the unity of the whole body. But it's also about facing up to the realities of human frailty. There are upsets in this church. Don't say it too loud. There can be upsets. There can be disagreements. There can be hurts. Sadly, that is a part of living in the body of the church. But if they continue unresolved, then you have real problems. And we as leaders want to be committed to help people to work through these kind of issues. And we're glad as we look back to see how that has happened and how God has helped to resolve those difficult situations at times. Because we're all different and we can so easily rub each other up the wrong way. It's a biblical principle to work out these issues. And that's hard when you're hurting. But it has to be sorted for the health of the whole body. When we are in Christ, forgiveness will flow to each other. Exercising love was in the DNA of the early church in Acts as they shared life and they shared all that they had together. As it was in the early days of this church from the beginning. And we must not lose this. We all have to play our part. I was really happy recently as so many people were added to the new rota. You've probably seen that this morning. New people welcoming, new people at the front door, new people leading worship. It's great to see people stepping into that. And that's not to put a weight on people, but it spreads the load and it makes us more effective as a body. I always thought that as the church grew bigger, it would become so much easier to meet the many needs and to spread the load. However, it has surprised me to find that it's true from the data that the opposite actually takes place. The more people you have, the more difficult it is to get people on board. Yes, the body is larger. There are more people to meet the needs. But instead, it can become less of a responsibility. The attitude can become, well, someone else is bound to do it when there's so many people. The common percentage when talking about the church is an 80-20 split, where basically 20% of people do 80% of the work. And we have never been like that. And I pray that we never will be. But I would ask you this morning to please hear this from a pastor's heart. Because the reality, as I'm at the center of trying to coordinate the practical help, for example, in the life of the church, is that it's become a smaller group of the same people who respond to the request for help when it's made known. And in the midst of our busy lives, I was struck by something related to that. And it was in the early church, and it was in terms of giving. And it talks about how they were so poor, but out of their poverty, they gave so generously. And I thought, well, that has to apply to our lives. Busy, busy, busy lives. But out of the busyness, we should be sacrificially giving and serving others, loving others. To love one another as he has loved us. It's not to be a hassle, but rather something that will bring us joy and a blessing. This love in action for one another helps to build up the body of Christ. In Galatians 6, we read the biblical mandate to care, which says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." So exercise love, and we'll grow in unity with each other and with Christ. And yet the wonders of the body that is fearfully and wonderfully made, the reality is that a small injury can prevent the body functioning as it can. My dad was a dentist, and I vividly remember, I don't know why, I was really young at the time, but my dad broke one of the smallest bones in the body, and it's just in here. And he was off his work for weeks because he could not function as a dentist because of that break. The body can heal itself in wonderful ways. But perhaps you may sprain your ankle after a tackle from Colin Haxton, just for example. But your other leg may take the weight temporarily, and that can be helpful. But if it's a really bad tackle and more serious, such as the one I accidentally did, which resulted in a broken femur for the opponent a week before his wedding, it just got worse. And then his wife came to see him, and her name is Dr. Payne. I thought, oh, this is just getting worse. But in that kind of state, we need crutches. We need the arms and the shoulders to take the weight for a longer period of time. Because when the body has an injury, the whole body is affected. And it's designed to work as a whole to help that brokenness. We read further on in Ephesians, but in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, what would the body be? Not very attractive. It's not great when it all goes wrong. In verse 20, as it is, there are many parts, but one body. And we need to be real and honest this morning and acknowledge that for all of us, there are times in our lives when we are sore, when we are hurting, when we are weak or broken. And sometimes perhaps the message has come through that we need people to be committed, and you're kind of thinking, but I'm falling apart, I'm really struggling. And if you're in that condition and that place, then the body can be there to help you. We're not looking for you to be under additional pressure at this point in your life. 1 Corinthians 12 says, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it. So there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. That's where that whole idea comes from. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. There's rejoicing to be done in the life and the body of the church too. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. We're not made to be islands. We've already considered how we are made in the image of God. And a big part of that is to be in community, just as God is in community in the Trinity. We actually need each other. I know that for some of us, we like to be more private. Or perhaps we want to be more independent, or we just don't want to bother others. I remember having a gentle chat with our friends Leslie and Audrey at the front here a long time ago to make their needs known and to accept help, even though they'd never really done that before. And I'm so glad that they've done it. Because when we don't accept help from others, if we don't make our needs known, then we prevent others from loving and serving and being blessed by God. You want to stop others being blessed? Well, don't tell them what your needs are. You may need carried at this point in your walk with God, but at another time, you may be the one who is doing the carrying. Recently, I was on the receiving end of a row from Clive, or more positively, you could say a gentle word in my ear. I was offered a nice meal for our family, but I said to the person we genuinely didn't need it, we were okay. But I was reminded by Clive that I had to be willing to accept the kindness of others, so I did what I was told, and it was fantastic. And then two others, unannounced, did the same. And I may genuinely and honestly have thought that I didn't need it, but I did need it. And it was such a genuine joy and a blessing to us all as a family in a time of sadness. So we are to have equal concern for one another. How does the body grow in health? Growing is about development and moving to maturity, and in an ongoing way, also about health. And so we need to exercise. We now have a qualified medical person in the house, and that can be helpful as Caitlin took her blood pressure this week. But there are many ways that our health can be monitored. I'm sure many of you here have had tests in recent months, and we would do well to listen to our bodies and to the warnings of tests that may come our way. Joe Norwood, our doctor in the house, told me that it's common for people to ignore these warnings for different reasons, perhaps because they just don't want to face it, or they want to ignore the seriousness of it, or the effect that that small issue will have later on if it's left untreated. What are some health checks that we can make that can help us to see if a church is healthy or not? They may show where we need more exercise. And so, as we have this health check, we need to exercise faith. Sometimes exercise causes us pain as we try to build up neglected muscles. We are called to exercise faith in our giving, to acknowledge God, the giver of all we have. I wonder, how is your giving? Someone said that genuine faith affects your wallet or purse. It was actually difficult to find a picture of an open purse. And when I did, it was empty. That's my life. But it's a recognised indicator of a healthy church. We have certainly been a generous church. You're sitting in one of the main evidences of that. But there's a reality that we have to face as a church. This church has grown, and it's fantastic. It's grown significantly in membership from 67 a couple of years ago to 109. But the giving, the cold, hard figures have not grown in any significant way. And that's a concern. And I have to put my hands up and say that for a long time in my Christian life, my giving was erratic. I always planned to take an offering with me to church, and then the bag would come round, I'd pull up my wallet, oh, I've forgotten. I must put it in during the week, and then so often forget. But for me, as Clive's mentioned earlier on, to set up a direct debit with the huge bonus of the church receiving the government's gift aid back, everything is taken care of. So let me encourage you to be biblical with your money, to give the first fruits, and a direct debit can do that, can make that happen. The first fruits of what you earn, not the dregs, not the leftovers at the end of the month, but to give generously, to give faithfully, and to give regularly. 2 Corinthians says, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. As I was thinking about it this week, I thought perhaps we've not been a faith-stretching church for a period of time. Early on, for those of you that don't know, the church was thinking, do we take on a pastor or should we be looking at a building? And there was only 40 members at the time. And the crazy choice they made was to take a pastor, which you may think is crazy in itself, but also to take on this building, which was a huge undertaking and was going to end up costing about £900,000. And that was so faith-stretching and terrifying, I'm sure, for 40 members at that time. Something that was substantially beyond the human current resources at the time. However, as part of our vision of knowing, growing, and going, we will soon be embarking on growth areas as a body, as we look to add staff to do work on the building, and there is a cost involved in that. And one of the costs that was mentioned was about the building. It was £15,000. I thought, oh, that's so much money. And then I thought, well, actually, it's £3 a week for every member for 1 year. I thought, it's actually not a huge amount of money. But it is, the whole thing is going to be a faith stretching exercise. And that's not something to be worried or fearful about, Craig, the treasurer at the back. It's exciting. And we can do it, though it may be faith stretching. But this is surely what being a follower of Christ entails, and it's exciting to be a part of that. A minister got up and informed his flock. He says, I've got great news. We've got all the money for the vision. And it's in your bank accounts. And that's the truth of the matter. So let us be cheerful givers. Another significant health check for our church is its prayer. The early church in Acts again reminds us they were devoted to prayer and the word of God. And these are some of our core values, but are there signs of good health? I was so encouraged in our home group last week that people were able to be honest and vulnerable about their needs and receive the prayer support of others. And I think that was hugely helpful. And again, this church has grown so much. But in one sense, the shocking thing is that moving from 40 members to over 100, we still don't have any more people coming to pray than we did back then. Something is not quite right. And it's not about card marking, but they are indicators of our health. I remember talking to my friend and he was saying, I can't believe it. He says, the prayer meeting that we're having in the church is packed. I don't know what's going on, but it is so exciting. And that's the vision that we would have for us as a church as we come to pray in home groups, praying before church, praying as a whole church once a month, to see a desire to be together, to pray, and to see that that is essential for the building up of the body of Christ. We return to Ephesians 4 that says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we'll no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. I watched the absolute opposite of a couch potato, ironically sitting on the couch, but at the recent World Gymnastics, did any of you see that? Unbelievable. To see what the human body can achieve was mind-blowing. Every part working together in perfect harmony to produce something amazing and beautiful. The unity of the body in action. Every part performing its function to the full. And I love this church. And I want it to become all that God intends it to be. Not what I want it to be. That doesn't really matter at the end of the day. But what God intends it to be. There is always growing and maturing to take place to reach the fullness of Christ. And Clayton just got a new hip. A new hip? Thank you. For that to succeed, she has had to play her part. She's had to be active. She's had to do daily exercises and be disciplined. To look after our bodies takes a level of discipline. And I thought, if I had a table here, Clive likes to have examples. I didn't want to show this to you, but if I piled on that table just the cakes I have eaten in this 1 week, you would not believe it. Or maybe you would you, Andy? Yeah, possibly. And you would see who ate all the pies. The challenge is I don't really want to always do what's best for my body. But ultimately, I know that the right discipline will be for its good. And so for us as believers to dine daily on the Word of God, praying at all times, seeking to be led by the Spirit, as we were reminded last week. A good routine is perhaps even looked down on within Christian circles, but in reality, it's often what most of us need in our walk with God, a good, healthy discipline and exercise. We considered love in action earlier, and this is carried out as we exercise the gifts that he gives us. We are so blessed to have such a diverse group of people, of gifted people in this church. And every believer has a special gift. A special gift that God has given us. For what purpose? To build up the body of Christ. Inherently, that tells us that if we don't use our gift, then the body will effectively be handicapped. It will be prevented from carrying out its purpose effectively or even reaching its potential. Maybe like many Christians that I've met, you don't really know what your gift is. You just do what's needed. How can you find out? You can pray about it. You can be practical. What fires your heart? That's generally a good idea of where God's going to have the gift that he's given you. Try things if you're not sure. Ask people who know you well, speak to the pastors or elders, and they will seek to help you. Because if it helps you to focus your time in the areas where God has designed you specifically for this church or the church that you're in, you'll be fulfilled. The body of the church will be blessed and will be built up. I don't know how you feel this morning after all of this, but this is a message that I've been praying will be heard and understood clearly, but positively. It's not meant to be a bashing for you this morning. If you feel bashed, then forgive me, because that is no intention. We should celebrate that we are a growing church. We have so much to be thankful for. And I'm positively encouraged at how God is building this church. But we have not arrived. We've not arrived, and we don't want to stay where we are. This is the busiest morning this church has ever had. 190 people, which we have never had. And you would know that I would be able to tell you there's at least 50 regulars not able to be here this morning. And that's where we're at as a church. There's a lot of growing ahead. There may even be within that growing pains. But we can share the opportunities to help us to grow as the body of Christ. And as we finish, what about our response? There have been so many challenges this morning, I realise. There have been lots of different scriptures to think about as we concentrate on this subject of growing in the body. I wonder how God has spoken to you. I trust that he has. I believe that surely there's at least one thing in there for each one of us this morning. Is it to come into membership? Is it to get involved with using your gift? Is it becoming more committed in your giving and your prayer life? Perhaps it's to take a first step of faith to become part of that body for the first time. There is one faith, and it leads to one baptism. Every single person in the New Testament believed first, believed, and were baptized. It's something that every believer is called to do. And there's baptisms later today, as we were reminded. It's still not too late. Last minute, people are welcome. If you want to do that today in obedience to God, please speak to myself or Clive. But let us be quiet in our response to him just for a minute. And I would encourage you to please come for prayer. If you would like help in responding to the Lord today, if you perhaps want to make yourself accountable, maybe you're hurting. Maybe you need to receive help and support from others in the body here as we seek to be a growing church. And thankfully, it's his work ultimately. I will build my church. And so we commit ourselves afresh to him. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the many encouragements and challenges it brings to us. Help us to hear what you have to say to us this morning. Help us to respond to that. Help us to be obedient, not just hearers of your word, but doers. And in our walk with you this week, excite us afresh. As we look ahead, stretch our faith in every area for your glory, that your body may be built up. In Jesus' name, amen.